Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, and myself, Brady Quinn. Make sure you catch us live weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So things have gone from bad to worse for somebody in the NFL. We'll get into all of that here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app, and you can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever the hell you are making us a part of your Tuesday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We will take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. Fun discussion. In the NFL, obviously another big man touchdown on Monday Night Football. Have we been seeing more of those linemen catching touchdowns in the NFL? Seems like we've been seeing more of those on primetime. Are coaches just rolling that stuff out to try and show off because there's more people watching?
Well,
is that
Miami,
how that works?
The Miami guy, that was not intended for him. He was illegal. That was illegal.
Yeah, but that was a primetime game. I think that
But that was not a play call, though, for him.
Who knows? The way Brian Flores runs that team. Who knows?
Well, let's hope not.
I'm just saying.
It makes it harder to defend, and in that area of the field, you got to come up with creative ways of throwing guys the football. And if you can look, if the defense is going to put on any number they want on their side of the ball, the offense can go ahead and they can formation things so they can have your tackle eligible to be able to catch a pass and score a touchdown. All right.
Okay. Do you think, though, that some of the skill position players are a little bothered? They're thinking to themselves, like, we do all the work to make plays to get down the field. Like, we should be the ones to catch the touchdown. You don't think so?
I think some guys are even more excited when they get down that portion of the field.
Offensive linemen thinking there's a chance?
Yeah, Andrew Thomas catching it? Yeah, of course. I mean, think if you're a running back, those guys are the ones blocking their tail off for you the entire game and finally get a chance to get the big man. I mean, now I think Daniel Jones might have been frustrated by the fact that the play before, Andrew Thomas basically whiffed on his man, so it led
rewarded.
To that touchdown.
Yeah, but he got rewarded for it. So, but those are just an example. A couple of Dave Gettleman first round picks that are working out well for the Giants.
You know,
so I think it's fair.
And yesterday's game, when I saw Gronkowski talking with Tom Brady on the sideline, I finally came up with who he had. It bothered me for the longest time trying to figure out who Gronkowski looked like to me.
This is going to be good.
You guys remember the Muppet Babies and the movie?
Vaguely.
Do you guys remember the movie?
Kind of.
You guys remember the American Eagle on the Muppet? The gray is like a bluish gray Muppet. One of the characters, he was an eagle. And I was like, man, he looks like the Muppets eagle. The American
You're saying
eagle.
It looks like an eagle?
Yeah, he looks like an eagle, bro.
The,
I can see that.
The Muppets American Bald Eagle.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now.
On everything
Sam
I love. What was his name?
Let's go live to our Muppets insider Lee DeLapp for the latest. Lee,
Sam Eagle, Sam the American Eagle,
Sam the American Eagle.
LeVar, I gotta be honest with you. This looks nothing like Rob Gronkowski.
They look exactly alike.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Pull up Rob Gronkowski's face.
Yeah, but
now.
Rob Gronkowski doesn't have a unibrow. This thing's got a unibrow.
Yeah, take away the unibrow. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. He definitely looks like Sam the Eagle without the unibrow.
The unibrow kills him for me.
What have you been watching? This is such a weird poll.
And Brady, I was sitting with your guy that offered you drugs when I was doing it. You know what I mean? Like, it was like one of those funkadelic moments. But I'm just telling you, that's what hit me. I mean, okay, take away the unibrow. I didn't remember him having the unibrow. But he looks like an American Eagle.
The problem is the unibrow is so
pronounced,
and I can't take it away. Like, I don't know what to
do with
it. You
got to look at the facial structure, like the head structure, the beak. That's more what I was looking at.
Yeah, I don't
know. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, but again, and that'll conclude our coverage of Monday Night Football here on the show as we transition over smoothly.
Sam the American Eagle.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, throw it out there. See
Gronkowski.
If people agree with you. Now, here's the thing. It's just the unibrow kills me. Like, I want to buy into it. It's just the unibrow.
You know what, though? I'm looking at them side by side. I see where you're getting it now that I've been able to bring up both. Look at side by side. Like if you just took out the unibrow, I think I see what you're talking
that's
about.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think I'm with LeVar on this one. I took some time. I was like, oh, it's just the unibrow's getting in the way. You take out that unibrow, I think I see what he's saying.
He looks like an eagle, man. Yeah, Rob Gronkowski looks like an American
it's
eagle.
The nose, Sam the eagle.
It's the way his hair is.
The head shape.
Yeah. The eyebrows. I see what you're looking at now. Uh-huh. I'm there. Thanks. I'm there.
That's why you're my old brother, man.
All right.
I'm with LeVar on this one. He's not wrong.
All right. Now we move over closely to the situation where things have gone from bad to worse. They were at the Bulls game last night. The crowd started chanting, "Fire Nagy." So that is now continued on from the Bears over to the Bulls. Also, there's a report from a Jordan Schultz, who says that, according to sources, Nagy's already lost the locker room, that he was starting to lose it a little bit earlier, but he has really lost it since then. The boat is taking on water. It is sinking Brady Quinn, and it seems like we are coming up on the final days of the Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace era in Chicago there for your guys, your boyhood team, the Chicago Bears.
I love how you project that on me. I'm going to document my Bernie Kosar jersey when I was young. Last time I checked, I didn't play for the Bears. This is an ownership issue in my mind. To the best of my knowledge, I don't think the Bears have ever fired a head coach during the season. You know that?
Never.
Yeah, that's true.
Never.
And this is one in where, like, I'm not saying that they need to fire him just to fire him if they don't feel like he's done, you know, anything wrong. But this team is just – it's been mismanaged. I think they have not been put in a position to succeed. Talking about the talent and players that they have. And I don't really see any optimism. If you're a Bears fan, a Bears player, and that's the one thing that when a season gets like this, when you're a head coach, you're selling hope. And there is no hope right now, it feels like, for the Bears. And so I don't – you know, this might be a first in their franchise's history, but the McCaskies need to do something. I don't know. Maybe it's Ted Phillips, the president. Like, they need to make a decision, and they need to get started on fixing this. It's too good of a fan base. This has been, say what you want about what the Bears have been over the past, since the 85 Bears everyone talks about. They need to come – a coming-of-age moment where they stop trying to become the 1985 Bears and they start trying to become, the version of the 2022 in the future Bears that can open things up offensively. Like, they're living in the past right now. And that ownership, the McCaskey family, Ted Phillips, the president, they need to start with making a change and then start looking for someone who can come in there and be a leader with some of the young talent they have, because they do have some young talent. Fields can play the game, man. You know, they got Mooney, a wide receiver, and Komet. You know, Allen Robinson's probably moving on.
Yeah.
But they've got enough talent, enough pieces there. They should be able to make this thing work. And it's been frustrating to watch what has been really a team that has been mismanaged. And now they've got no hope.
And I think it starts at the top, and that's been the problem, because they fired Lovie Smith when he was 10-6. It went 10-6, they got rid of him. They brought in Mark Trestman and Phil Emery. That was a disaster. Then they turned it over to John Fox. He at least stabilized things. And then they got rid of him. And then they went because they wanted to
get stabilized. Because
Mark Trestman and Phil Emery, it was so bad there that they just needed somebody to just get the organization back on track. The wins weren't there.
What did Fox do?
Well, no, because
was it infighting?
There were so many issues with Mark Trestman and Phil Emery in the locker room. All the drama, the dysfunction that came out of there. You had a guy shove an assistant coach on the ground in practice, and then they named him a team captain that week. Jay Ratliff.
Need some toughness. Yeah.
So at least the thought was, John Fox, is going to at least calm things down. And if they're going to do a rebuild, at least start there. They got rid of him. They bring in Matt Nagy. Did he even have a full season of calling plays for the Chiefs? I don't think he did. I think he called plays for a few games.
Well, let's be real. No one's calling plays there for a full season besides Andy Reid. All right. Like, he's not letting that up. I'm sorry.
And so Ryan Pace has botched multiple first-round draft picks, whether you want to go Kevin White or the situation with Trubisky, or if you want to go Leonard Floyd or some of these other moves that they've made. It's been awful. And here we are. Matt Nagy's in his first losing season, and it's bad. All the way around, it's bad. The fans are tired of it. They're tired of the crap. They keep hearkening back to the good old days, and Ted Phillips is the guy that's been there the entire time. And the thought is, well, if you can't fix that, why do you expect everything underneath it to get fixed? If you just continue to have the same repetitive issue, it's like in Washington with Dan Snyder. They go, why is Washington still struggling? Well, it's the same people up top. Like, what do you expect? If you're trusting them to make the hiring and firings, how do you expect this thing to get turned around? And they find themselves in this point in time where, look, Aaron Rodgers is going to be leaving the division most likely soon. There's an opportunity here for somebody to take over that division, and the Bears feel like they're a long way off.
You know what rich people do?
Uh-oh.
Rich people – this is real.
All
rich
right.
people make it seem like they're making changes or decisions, you know, when they're a part of companies or whatever the perception may be. But they make it seem like they're making changes and stuff. So on the outside, like peripherally, they're like, no, 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 we've addressed this. We've handled this. Everything's fixed. Everything's changed. And it's like, well, no, it's not, because you're still in charge. You just hired someone to come in, or you cleaned house and you hired people to come in who still have to answer to you. And ultimately, you have the final say. You're still like the puppet master pulling all the strings.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is and what it has usually been with bad organizations. There's someone who's up top in a position of power, either the owner or the president, whatever title you want to give them, and they make a change to appease the fan base, to appease the media, and they'll find a qualified candidate who checks off some boxes just to kind of keep the smoke screen that they're the real problem. And it's not
like,
going to change until they need turnover. They have something else happen.
You mean like hiring minorities at higher ranking positions in your organization? Like things like that? You mean like your minority wife taking over as the leader of...
What are you getting at? Is there a
I don't know. I'm
about?
Just yeah. saying.
Is there a team that falls in that category?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you got to check off the boxes these days, right? I mean, inclusion, you know, race relations. Yeah, you got to make sure you're toeing the line on these things. Make a black man
saying?
The president of our organization. You know, why not? You know, let's take a chance. Let's have the wife. You know, be the face as the owner of the organization. You know, I mean, like, you know.
Yeah, Washington's playing well now.
Wait.
I didn't mean to.
Is that where this is?
Yeah, I didn't mean to out the team there. Yeah, that's,
they are doing very well right now. I mean, their record is looking amazing.
Yeah.
They are surging. What is it? What, 3 wins? 4 wins?
Four, something like that.
Five and six.
A little Heineke on the rocks.
5 wins?
4. They got 4.
Well, listen, it feels like 5. For them, it's 5. We just round up here.
I mean, you know, they're on the rise. You know, 4-6. They're only 2 away from 500.
I mean, I don't see – so – and that's what – we talked about this a little bit yesterday. If the organization has never fired a coach in season, but if they come out and they lose on Thanksgiving to the Lions –
if you lose to the Lions,
how do you?
Which one outweighs? Does it losing to the Lions and getting rid of the coach and figuring it out from there, or maintaining the tradition?
Is it a Jared Goff led Lions or Tim Boyle? I think
if it's Tim Boyle, they ain't winning.
Okay, so basically,
somebody look coming into the game, they were like, "Listen, this Boyle kid, they're like, he's never started a game, but he's got a cannon. Like he's got a cannon for an arm. It looked like a water pistol."
All right,
bro.
So the Chicago Bears, who've been around since 1920, like they refuse to fire coaches in season. Unless Tim Boyle beats them on Thanksgiving, and then all that history is gone. So Tim Boyle basically holds Matt Nagy's job in his hands right now, is what we're saying on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Dang.
You've never heard an opposing head coach, all right, try to give a pep talk to his team to go and take out Tim Boyle.
Yeah, like that thing, guys, I'm going to lose my job if we lose to Tim Boyle.
Get this guy out of here. Take him out.
Oh, my God. What a disaster, man.
I bet you everybody in that locker room looking around like, hey, what you think?
Hey, bro, I'm rooting business for Tim decision? Boyle. I hope he goes in there and lights it up. I hope he proves everyone wrong.
Business decision?
Oh,
I do, man.
He squirt
guns his way to a
ew. Ew.
Ew.
Ew.
Ew. Yeah. Grab it like that video, though. All right, it is two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Coming up next, somebody in the NFL got paid, and there could be even more afterwards on the table. We'll get into all of that for you next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. You are a scumbag. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR.
Roberto and Jonas need help.
What? I didn't say anything. That's Roberto that made the comment.
Well, we've already known that.
They need help. Serious, serious assistance.
Oh, my God. Just a...
And they need to be on that neighborhood watch list, too.
Can someone explain this to me?
Yes, please.
Did LeBron punch Isaiah Stewart? How is he only suspended one game?
Because he didn't escalate it, they're saying. He elbowed him, and he elbowed him good,
I don't
too.
Know that he elbowed. I think he threw a backhand.
He elbowed him.
Whatever he did, it was intentional. Yeah.
Oh, it was 100% intentional.
You could make the case that that's what escalated it. And, look, I'm a LeBron fan, but... I'm willing to sit there and say to you, when a dude's wrong, he's wrong.
Well, while we're discussing that, because the one takeaway I took, like this is just how I work, right? If you are going to jump up in somebody's face, I don't care who it is, LeBron, I don't care. At the point in time you decide that you're going to jump up in somebody's face, don't just jump up in their face.
Get a shot in, man.
You're going to wait all that time for this is what I hate about tough dudes, right? I think they're really, really tough. Because there's a difference between a real tough dude and a fake tough guy, all right?
Right.
If I'm ready to go, like, if I get hit in my face like that, and listen, I'm not speaking hypothetically because I've been in enough practices where I could give you 100 stories of how I whooped somebody's ass or I got jumped. And that's just what it is sometimes in practices. If you're going to thump, then thump. Don't get up in the dude's face. You up in LeBron's face looking at him, saying what you're going to say. Nah, grab him by his neck but pop him in his face or give him a shot in his gut, something like that. You're going to wait. You got all that time to do whatever it is you're going to do with LeBron right there in your face, who already bust your face up. And you're going to wait until they start grabbing you. Yeah. And now you want to start acting crazy and running around and chasing after them. You ain't getting a LeBron. After you had your opportunity, you were not going to get close to that man again. And you knew it. So all you did was prove to the entire world, because that went viral across the world. All you did was show that you're a fake tough guy. You're a fake tough guy. You ain't really about that smoke. You ain't about that life. Don't ever act as though you're going to fight with somebody because you're not that guy. And I wanted to get that. So I'm glad, Isaiah Stewart, I had the opportunity to bring you up because, Brady, if you're going to thump, then thump.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Just a simple headbutt to the bridge of the nose.
That's why he got a two-game suspension. You want to know why he got a two-game suspension? For fake tough guy stuff.
That's why.
He got one for really, for the incident. Yeah. Then he got another one for being a fake tough guy.
Yeah.
Westbrook was a clown, too.
let me just say this, too, though. Like, I know 82 games, a long season. You know, basketball in the NBA, it's more physical than we give it credit. Now, it ain't what it used to be, but it's still more physical than we give them credit, and it takes a toll and all that. But I do hate when basketball players try to make this whole, like, football mentality or whatever. Like, no, you're not.
Dude. You're not even close.
Not even close.
All right. I'm a football player.
Nah, you really not.
No, bro. Because here's the deal is football players don't take off time just because of load management or because they're sore.
Yeah.
Like we talked about Baker Mayfield earlier. He's playing through a lot of stuff right now, but he's out there and he's doing it because he wants to lead his team. You know, he understands how crucial every game is now, being that they're 6-5 in a tight division race in a wide open AFC playoff picture. He can't afford to take off any time. There might be times of practice where he takes off some periods or takes off a day, but that's just so he can get to those games. I just like the whole load management thing and like trying to compare yourself to a football player, your toughness or that mentality. It ain't even close, man. Different stratosphere.
You don't even have the luxury of allowing somebody to come in and take your reps for load management. Like I'll be damned. I let somebody come in and take my reps. Like, they get out there and they make a sack, or they get two sacks, or, oh my gosh, they got three sacks. It's like, wait, we pay this guy minimum wage. We can actually that next contract for LeVar is, let's see, that's a workout bonus. That's a roster bonus, so we got to sign him to the roster. We're going to save, wow, you know what? Let's think about that. That's what happens in football. You're not going to have that happen to a LeBron James.
But those contracts are guaranteed in the basketball.
You're not going to have that happen to them guys, man.
To LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Yeah, he. It was like a little short little elbow punch type of deal. But he did all that like freaking out and flipping out.
He had a chance right there in the moment after it happened.
Listen, and I don't condone violence, and I definitely condone being composed and showing restraint. But you didn't.
Hey, this is why Frank Gore has all the pressure on him. Frank Gore needs to get it done when he fights Darren Williams.
Well, I got
to
say this. I got to be honest with you here, right? Frank Gore is a running back. Yeah, he is. But you got to understand, there's levels to this.
Okay, all right.
Let me give you a great example, right? If some S popped off when we was in Iowa City while we was double fisting and the O brothers, this is so fun. Let somebody have disrespected Brady, and then you'll find out what the levels are. You'll find out what the levels of what that looks
because
like.
Because Matt Leiner would have stepped in and like.
Because LeVar Arrington would have tore holes in that bar. They would have had to come repair the bar. I'm telling you, I would have been wiping that bar up. They would have been like, what just happened? There's levels. So what I'm saying is, if I'm out with Frank Gore, if we're all out, there are certain dudes that you're like, dude, if something pops off, I know for certain that this is what, like, there's even levels for me. Like, when I'm out with certain dudes, I know there's levels for me. Like, that's who I'm going to be near. If something were to pop off, that's who I'm going to be close to.
You remember the who was the reliever? Remember when Bryce Harper got in a fight with the reliever for the Giants? What's that guy's name? Reliever for the Giants. Anyways.
Who cares?
Who cares? In the scrum.
From football to baseball.
The point is.
There's levels.
Yeah, the point is, in the scrum, the one guy who made the most noise was Jeff Samardzija. You remember when he ran from the dugout? He gave his own teammate a concussion. Like, and it was like, you could tell, right? Okay, so that's the football player. That's the guy who played football because he wiped out his own teammate. I think it was Michael Morse. He gave him a concussion in the fight because he just couldn't wait to get into some sort of confrontation.
Let me just summarize it by saying this. Like, when LeVar is speaking to the levels of it, just think about this. All right. Like, offensive players, their mindset, they're incentivized by getting to the goal line. Like, they get to touch the football. All right. They get to touch the ball. Like, they're a product of that. Like, they get excited. Their motivation is getting that ball across the goal line, but they get to be a part of that. Sometimes it gets to be them. When you play defense, that's not your motivation.
No. Like,
your entire mindset is, destroy. I want to destroy the person across from me, whoever has that ball. Like, your every single play, your entire mindset is, I want to kill the person who I need to kill to go hit the person with the football. Like, it is such a different mindset to explain to people that's why it's like, don't make the comparison.
Like, but here's the thing, though. O-linemen, certain O-linemen.
Oh, yeah.
There's levels to this.
Well, yeah, because they don't touch the ball. Like, it's all about if they touch the ball.
Certain tight ends, There's levels to this thing. Like Jeremy Shockey, there's levels to it. Like if me and Shockey are out, it's like if something bad is about to happen, we gotta go. Like we gotta go now. Like pads go directly home. Like do not collect $200. Not go home. Like there's certain dudes that you just know. And my whole point of this is not to be on no machismo type stuff. What I'm saying is if you're gonna be throwing trash cans around and trying to move coaches and your teammates out of the way and ushers, get off of me with your bloody face and all of this and all of that, you should have thumped right then and there.
Yeah.
Thump now or forever hold your peace. Everything he did, everything he did after that moment had me looking at this dude like, you a clown, bro. You a big old tall long clown. And you made an ass of yourself and your family, because there's somebody that's sitting at home that when he was a kid, they would have made him go back around the block and he would have had to shoot a fair one with him. Real talk. That's real talk, man. You can't do all that late. That you're late.
Yeah.
Don't be late. He right there. LeBron was right there in his face like, what's up? Like, what's up? I did it. I bloodied your face. You see your nose, your lip? That was me. I'm right here in front of you. You did nothing. So stop it.
Wow. Good for you. I feel better.
I'd be boxing him out. Every time. Hey, I'm just saying.
Thump now or forever hold your peace.
That should be a shirt, by the way.
That's a T-shirt right there. Copyright that. All right. We are brought to you by Discover. Real credit card questions require real people. Someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Coming up 12 minutes from now, we will have results from the Prop Bet Monster. Somebody took to social media last night to pull one of the great cards in all of sports. We will get into that here again 12 minutes from now on FSR. Taysom Hill, the Taysom Hill era will continue in New Orleans. He gets reportedly a four-year deal worth $40 million for his current role. But Brady Quinn, this is going to turn into $95 million if he becomes the starting quarterback over that time. So here we go, Taysom Hill getting paid. The ultimate gadget guy getting paid with an opportunity to approach $100 million there as a quarterback.
Well, it's not even if he becomes the starting quarterback. Really, the number is 224 pass attempts, which comes out to 13 pass attempts per game. That's the language that would bump up what he will end up making to equate to a quarterback's contract as opposed to, you know, the contract that he's currently under or going to make moving forward, which is, you know, roughly a four-year, $10 million deal. And about half of that's in guarantees. So if we really want to break this down, they gave Taysom Hill a two-year extension. Now, you could argue that, oh, is $10 million a year a lot for a guy who's viewed as a backup quarterback or a tight end, wide receiver, you know, wildcat quarterback, special teamer? Sure, but did you hear all the things I just said? He is in one roster spot, is able to take up multiple things and provide value to an offense schematically. And when you look at some of the backup quarterbacks in this league who are now making upwards of $6 million to $7, $8, $9, $10 million, it's like, well, if he can play backup quarterback and potentially go in and help you win a game there, but he's also going to be a dynamic player for you at times on offense, you know, at any one of those positions, and also a special teamer's, you know, there's value in that. And I think it's worth the, you know, the $10 million or the $20, $22 million guaranteed that he got in signing. And he was going to become a free agent after this year anyway. So they had to extend him at some point. And they clearly value him as a player on this team, you know, in the locker room. Because it's not like he's getting any younger. I think he's, what, 30 years old now? So, you know, this is the sort of contract that I think it makes sense. He'll never make that top-end value of it, at least in my opinion. I just think that if they wanted to make him a starting quarterback, they would have went with him this year. This was the opportunity to do so, and instead you went with Jameis Winston, who's now hurt, but even then you could have done it with Taysom Hill. But now we get Trevor Siemian. So, you know, and they drafted Ian Book, my guy. And so who knows what they're going to do this offseason? It seems like this is more about providing his agent and Taysom Hill with, hey, if this happens to work out this way, we'll be glad to pay you that. But it's probably not, because they've had multiple chances to make him a starting quarterback or give him that chance to throw 13 pass attempts or more per game, and Sean Payton just hasn't.
If he would have hit free agency, who do you think would have been the first team or coach to call about signing Taysom Hill?
Bill Belichick.
100%. 100%. That's a Belichick guy through and through. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's probably going to be opportunities on the open market. And when is Ian Book going to get an opportunity here? What are we looking at? I mean, at some point, let's turn the page on Trevor Siemian and go Ian Book. Let's go, man.
I know. Trust me. I was kind of surprised they wanted Trevor Siemian in the first place, although – he did help cover this past week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean.
Actually, no, I take that back. That was 2 weeks ago.
That's all right.
This week, they were awful.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, can we get right how you're supposed to play when you're down 14 points? Can we get this right? Like, for some reason, Sean Payton, instead of going for it on 4th and 7 from the 10, right, 10-yard line going in, they kick a field goal to go down 11. Like, I don't get it, because you're still down 2 scores after that fact. And then so many – I don't even want to get it. It's a whole analytics conversation. But, like, this past week I'm watching some of these decisions going, why would you go for a field goal with 7 minutes and change left in the fourth quarter? You're still down 2 scores, and you're playing with a backup quarterback anyway. Like, isn't this the time to go for it on basically 4th and goal and try to throw one in there?
Not to mention you're playing a 4-16.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're at the moment 5-4. And why not be more aggressive in what you're doing? You're playing a team that isn't a winning team. See, the one thing about when you play teams that aren't winning teams, you just got to prove to them that you can't win. Like, if during a game, even if that team is up and they have the confidence of, like, we got an opportunity, this is great, da da da. And you find yourself in a scenario where you prove to that team that has the losing record that you can't win. It doesn't matter. You're not going to win. Those type of teams, there's something that triggers off. I've been a part of it. Like, you start to sit there in your mind. You'd be like, man, like, we're doing well, but I don't know if we can win. Like, I don't know if we'll be able to pull it off. It might be because of a player. It might be because of the coach. Like, we're talking about what happened in Chicago and what's going on there. I mean, there's other places. I mean, there could be a question in Cleveland. I mean, the idea of it is, though, Detroit, you know, the idea of it is like, man, you got to be a little bit different in your posturing and your approach when you're a team that is a winning team. And New Orleans is a winning team, and the Eagles have been struggling. So why would you even approach it that way?
Yeah, it was interesting through and through. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox
They're
Sports
surging,
Radio.
They're surging, though. Eagles are surging.
Yeah, man. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up next, we've got results from the Prop Bet Monster. Also, somebody on social media did one of the great moves of all time. It absolutely meant to piss off fans. We'll get into all that for you next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up, top of next hour here on Fox Sports Radio, we could see some major changes for one franchise in the NFL. Most likely, actually. We'll get into that conversation with you here again a little over 10 minutes from now on FSR.
How about that Juergens?
So this is great. So Kevin Durant was shown, wearing some sort of like new sneakers last night or something. I'm not a sneakerhead. I have no idea what the latest fashion is with sneakers. That's more Brady's game. It's not really my thing. But fans noticed that his sock was pulled down a little bit and his legs were very dry. Very
that is an understatement. Okay, by the way.
Okay, and so they were making jokes. They were calling him a grayscale off Game of Thrones.
Oh man,
snake skin, all the other stuff. That
oh man,
like it's really
shedding your skin.
It's really dry.
I mean,
skin.
That joint looked like he was shedding his skin, bro. I ain't gonna lie. I mean, yeah, you know.
And so Kevin Durant took to Twitter last night, probably seeing all the comments, and just wrote, "I'm about to pull my y'all broke card in a second. F y'all." Like, he's one of my favorite follows on Twitter because he will engage with fans.
Sure.
He has no issue whatsoever. He's not above it. He absolutely will engage and will pull that card whenever he wants.
Yeah.
But, you know. Skin did
but that still
dry.
Ain't going to check. Yeah, that's just, that will not. And I know KD. That's one of the homies. He used to come in my restaurant all the time. But you know what? There's nothing I can do to defend you on this one, bro. Nothing I can. And listen, if there's anything I can do, I can say we've all been there. Like, for me, it's when I get off of airplanes. For some strange reason, and I wear flip-flops all the time. Like, I'm a flip-flop guy. If I could walk around barefoot, I would. That's my thing. I don't like shoes. I don't like my feet being confined. So I always have flip-flops on. And for some strange reason, when I get off of flights, my feet look like I've been walking in baby powder.
Really?
And if I forget to have, like, hand lotion in my carry-on pack, I got to walk through the airport looking like I got socks on, and it's my feet. So I've been there.
Altitude dries your feet out?
I don't know. I don't know.
Drier air, man.
I don't know why it's been happening like the last year or two. When I fly, I notice when we land, I am ashy as hell. And I mean, like, ashy like KD's leg ashy. So now every time I'm ashy, I'm be like, I got that KD ash. Like, I'm now labeling my ashiness the KD ash.
I mean, I can understand, like, you know, feet swelling up getting off a plane.
My feet swell up, too. Like, I get the old man swell sometimes, so I got to pop a peppermint. You know what I mean? Like, grandma leg. You know what I mean? You got to put
peppermint.
Some sugar. Yeah, you got to get. You ain't never heard of somebody had. See, this might be culturally speaking, right?
Like, yeah, no, educate me. I want to hear about this.
Culturally speaking.
Yeah. Go ahead, Roberto.
Go ahead. Hit the button.
Yeah, all right. Damn right.
Grandma's. When they get, you know, they had diabetes and their sugar starts to get low or whatever, they start swelling up. They say, gotta pop them.
Gotta pop a what? We've lost Lamar, folks. Lamar.
You gotta pop a peppermint immediately. Grandmoms always have a piece of candy, and it's always usually a peppermint. And you gotta pop a peppermint to get that sugar rush, like, to get your sugar back up. You know what I mean?
Why not like a Werther's Original? Why is it gonna be a peppermint?
I don't know, but grandma's is always a peppermint.
Okay.
You want a peppermint? You get that sugar. You gotta get that sugar. You gotta pop a peppermint.
You're crying right now.
Because it's for. Because I know if there's a lot of people out there listening that understood 100% what I just said.
Pop a peppermint?
Yeah,
I've never heard that before in my life.
Yeah, you got to pop a peppermint.
You know, just put some lotion on. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, just carry with
you. Yeah, but when
fine.
You're swelling up because of the diabetes, you know, the diabetes, you got to pop that peppermint, man. Like, when you get that sugar fat leg, you know.
Can I even laugh at that?
Yes, like, you're allowed. Yes.
Are you sure?
I promise you, you're allowed to laugh at, because there's a whole bunch of people that they but they understand it.
What, I was a racist against diabetes?
Yeah, come on. Well, it's racist because it's prevalent in the black community. It's in my community. Oh. You know, the diabetes.
Why can't it be my community?
I mean, it could be. All right. You know, you can. You know,
it's real out here, man.
You know, Black Lives Matter made it fun to be. You know,
oh jeez.
You know, in support of, right. of that. Yeah, that whole thing.
I'll let you comment on that. Yeah,
I'm just saying. You know, me neither. I don't want to get fired.
Well, you know. By the way, congratulations to LeVar, a big-time winner in the prop bet monster. He is now leading in the season.
Way to switch it out. Jonas is so good at switching stuff up. It was like,
The 2-2 to
Hit the brakes. Hit the brakes. Get him out of there.
Yeah.
Mayday. Mayday.
Now LeVar hit. This was the difference. Does Tom Brady throw an interception and bounce?
It was such a BS interception. It was such a BS interception.
100% on Mike Evans. 100% on Mike Evans. Yeah. And
that thing hit him like right in between the numbers.
You got to take it into consideration, but you got to take it all into consideration, you know.
Yeah, but
so you foresaw
I
that.
Foresaw,
oh,
I foresaw somebody not catching the ball and it leading to
Brady,
an interception.
As a quarterback, you should start because you've talked about this before. There's a difference between interceptions and interceptions that aren't your fault. Like, is there a stat that
we should have like errors?
With?
No, we should have like errors in football. That would be an error.
Guys,
I agree.
Hey guys. Hey guys. Yeah. Hey guys.
Yeah.
I won.
Pass the lotion.
And a peppermint.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.